Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. This is part two of a two-part recap. If you're like, hey, wait a minute, I didn't hear part one. Guys, it's because we put out a lot of recaps. Go back and listen to part one, okay? It's before this one. Bye. Enjoy the show.
So then Danny's, they're walking outside to the other house, and Danny's like, you got your mic on? She's like, yeah. She's like, take it off. Mind you off. She's like, I hear you. There's cameras following us. She's like, okay, then stop talking. Take the mic off. Stop talking. Ugh. So I think what's frustrating about this is that, like, it's sort of going back to what you were saying about handling things privately. Yeah. Like, you know, I think it's good to handle things privately, handle behind closed doors. You don't make a scene. I think that's good. But what's hard is the sense of fakery that comes as a result of this situation. Like, oh, yeah, they're just great and they're fine and dandy, but they have real issues. And that's fine too. Like, that's totally fine. But what I don't like is that, like, they're immune from criticism. Like, how could anyone say anything bad about them? It's like, no, because, like, they should be subject to criticism because they have shit going on and they're acting in ways that's, like, you know, affecting other people. And I'm really happy to see that this veil or this cloak of immunity that they've had is now coming down, because it's not fair for those, I think, that are being lambasted for daring to say anything against them.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I want to just make it clear that I'm not saying I believe everything should be handled behind closed doors. I'm speaking specifically of that trip where Danny was wasted and went to bed. To me, that was a good move. I don't want your drunk husband here acting like an idiot. You know, so yeah. If someone's husband is drunk and acting like an idiot, I would rather he be put to bed. Frankly, you know, I'm just talking about that specifically. But I don't think, especially if you're on a reality show, that you're above questioning by anybody.
Yeah, you know what it is? I guess as I drill down into it, you know what I hate is, like, having to pretend if you want to handle something behind closed doors, by all means do it. But I hate having to pretend I don't want to be part of whatever the situation is. So even going back to that last year of Santa Barbara, it's like, oh, Daniel's just taking a nap. I don't want to be like, oh yeah, he's just tired. You need to take a nap. It's like, no, he got wasted because he's, like, in his late 30s and still doesn't know how to drink. And I have to just be like, oh yeah, he was tired. He had to take a nap. Like, I don't want to have to co-sign this. If you want to cover, it's fine. But, like, I don't want to have to co-sign it. And I think that's where I get, like, frustrated with couples like Danny and Nia, you know?
Yeah, I just get frustrated in general with people like that. I just don't want to be around it. Like, if you're willing to put up with that from somebody, that's up to you. And that's, like, some deep issues. And if you need any help with that, I'll always be there to help. Like, if someone like Nia comes to me and tells me things are going on with Daniel or whatever, and she needs help, I would be there, first of all, packing up her shit and trying to support her in any way that I could. But I'm not going to subject myself to being around a couple like that. That's nuts.
Yeah.
You know.
So now it's the next morning and everything's going to be fine now, guys. So Danny and Nia are outside and Nia's like, it's a new day. And I just want to start the new day by making sure it's brought up so that it's not something that we carry with us. But last night, I feel really bad that I brought things up in a time that I would never normally bring things up. And we both had something to drink, and, like, we're not super on the same page. And I just was kind of feeling hurt yesterday, and it was not fun for me. And I wanted to have a good time, and I wanted to be, like, laughing and giggling and, like, silly. And I'm like, why are you apologizing? You didn't bring anything up at the wrong time at all. You brought him outside privately and said, hey, like, could you please stop acting like this? You're making me feel bad.
Works. It's an abuse dynamic, and it's extremely uncomfortable to watch, you know, and anybody who's ever been in the situation or around this situation knows this pattern very well. You know, the person who's in the victim position is making excuses, and it's not like you did this and you need to apologize. It's, we both did it. And I, you know, we were both drinking and we both said things we didn't. It's no, you weren't both. It was him. But you're constantly having to massage this ego because you don't want this person to explode and do whatever they're going to do to you, you know? And it's horrible. It's so uncomfortable to watch, you know? It's awful to watch it. And Danny's like, well, I definitely took the competition to the next level, and I wasn't talking to you in the right way, and I'm embarrassed, and I'm so sorry. I apologize again. You know, he's a good apologizer because that's what you do. It's like I always said with Jax, like, yeah, great at apologies because you're so practiced. You have to do it every fucking second of the day and none of them mean anything because you're just going to do it again.
Yeah. So Danny's like, obviously, alcohol takes away your inhibitions a little bit. And if I had one too many, my fuse can be shorter and I can be snappy. And I just took it too far. And so it's like, it's frustrating. It's, or Lisa Barlow would say, it's frustrating that, I guess, I don't know. I'm trying to articulate how I feel about this, which is that he's like a terrible drunk. It's a terrible drunk. And then he's acting like, I'm not a terrible drunk. It's just that, like, I have a lot on my plate. And yet every single time he has to explain himself to the audience, like, well, you know, when you drink a little bit, your inhibitions go away. And, you know, I guess I could be a little snappy. It's like, you're a bad drunk and you should stop drinking. How about that?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
Stop and it.
But it's not like we pointed out earlier. It's not just when he's drunk. He was doing this not drunk the entire trip. So I think sometimes people blame Grey Goose when it's their shitty personality. You know, the alcohol enhances what's already there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. You know, like, people like to say it turns me into a whole different person. No, it just enhances the shit person you already are. It's a microscope.
Exactly. And I think there's a difference between calling someone a bad drunk and saying you're an alcoholic, because I don't know if Danny's an alcoholic, but what I do observe is that he's a shitty drunk and he does shitty things when he's drunk. And I think that, like, he grabbed Jasmine's butt. He got kicked out of Jax's twice. Do you know how bad you have to be to get kicked out of Jax's of all place? It's like the Mar-a-Lago of Ventura Boulevard.
The sign was made out of Coke straws.
Yeah. And, you know, and he's mouthing off to Nia, and it's like, it's this, it's that, it's so many things. And it's like, you're a shitty drunk, and like, you show up to a trip. Yes, I will go back once again. You show up to a trip and then you have to like chug down beers to catch up. Like, what are you, 21? You don't have to catch up. Like, that's so crazy. I mean, like, just like, you're just like shitty at this. And then like, we all have to pretend like, oh, but they're great. He was just tired. It's fine. He's just, you know, he's stressed. He's working. It's like everyone gets sucked into having to make excuses for someone who then gets drunk and makes everyone else uncomfortable. So in this case, the village is being terrorized by the village drunk. And it's just like not cool. The village drunk is going around throwing things in people's windows. And like, I feel like I'm in the village right now, even though I'm not part of the situation. I feel like by watching it and observing it and commenting on it, I feel like I'm part of it and I've had enough.
Well, it makes sense. It's rightfully so. So Lala is telling Michelle, she's like, he was out of it last night. Like, he was off his fucking rocker. And Michelle's like, yeah, he needs to ragged his, you know, personal's bays. And I've never felt uncomfortable or anything because he was wearing heels last night. But I was like, oh, I'm taller than you. Like, kind of like a joke. And he was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. And then just getting too close to me to like prove that he was not, you know, du jour. And that is fine. But I can see another girl being like, okay, personal's bays.
Yeah, sure. By the way, just to, one thing I've learned in life is just never comment on people's height to people's faces. If you see a tall girl and be like, wow, you're so tall, don't say that to her. If you see someone who's short and be like, wow, I'm taller than you, don't say that to them. Just don't mention people's height. It is a very touchy subject. I'm not taking it for Danny, but like Michelle being like, wow, I went up to someone and said, I'm taller than you. And they got mad at me. I'm like, Michelle, this is maybe not
I'm still taller than you, even in heels. Short man. Men love being called short.
I'm not gonna defend Danny getting into your personal space, but this is just not the best example of Danny's ills here.
It's like, I do not understand why he got mad. So weird. And she's saying, you know, we've all seen Danny drink too much, and she's like, I have a higher threshold than most women, because let's face it, I was married to Jesse, so I know how to act with I know how to deal with men when they're acting like boys. You open a window and you push them out of it.
I just like at this point, she's like, yeah, you know, Jesse is terrible, but I know no one really cares anymore about how terrible he is. So we'll just accept it and move on and focus on Danny. So Lala's like, each woman has a different boundary, right? Yes, exactly. It's like, but when alcohol starts flowing, and you don't know how to read someone's energy, it just makes me nervous. And Jack goes, well, this is tough. Just honestly, even hearing and seeing again, because I feel like they would rather remove people from their lives who say things. And I would just like to say something to her, but I don't even know. This is a lot right now.
And Lala's like, well, maybe today, because of last night, she may be a little bit softer and open to it. So, like, no, I don't think this is.
Why would Nia be softer
now? No, it's bad advice. You're still not the right messenger. Your message is not wrong, Janet, but you're just not the right messenger for that.
Probably. I think it's the worst time to talk to Nia, because I think Lala's thinking Nia is so fed up with Danny that she probably will appreciate someone coming in peace to her. But I think actually what is more likely to happen is now all the things that Danny has put onto her, she can finally, quote unquote, unleash onto someone else. Not that Nia really unleashes, but Janet is a safe space for Nia to be a bit more curt and cold to, as opposed to Danny. So like she'll just sort of, I think, transfer the energy over to Janet. So it's really not a good time for her to do it.
Well, Lala's also assuming that because she's fed up, that Nia's going to be fed up. So she's like, well, after last night, yes, Nia must be completely fed up. So let's go help her be like, okay, well, your relationship is at rock bottom. So where do we go from here? You know, she's like ready to come at it from that angle. But everyone, like she just says, has different thresholds. And Nia's not at her rock bottom yet. So Nia's not coming to it like, oh my God, my husband's a huge fuck up. How do we fix this? She's coming to it like, you know, okay, I'm still standing behind this guy. Like, how am I going to stand behind him today? You know, Yikes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Yeah, so yeah. Janet goes out and she's like, I don't know that I can really have an honest conversation with her about what happened last year, because it's clear that even though this thing with Danny hurt her, she's still very defensive of him. And I just want to get this apology off my chest. Not just to make besties with Nia, because that's never going to happen, but I just want her to know that I'm empathetic to her situation. So she's going to go have this talk with her.
Yeah,
what could go wrong?
Yeah, great plan. Yeah. Meanwhile, Danny talks with Lala and he's like, hey, show, I want to check back in about last night. I talked to Nia and obviously this morning I just want to apologize. And I just felt really stupid, you know. I should never have talked to her how I was talking. The tone was all wrong. Let me see. What else did ChatGPT say that I should say? I was just, you know, I'm competitive. Alcohol. I was snappy. You know how it is. But, you know, can you understand me? I know you're a woman, so it might be hard to process all these words.
Well, you know, with Danny, this apology, you know, he is a very good apologizer. And even I was like, well, that's pretty good, you know.
Yeah,
but and he's cute. If I hadn't seen his talking heads and then read everything he said during the season and seen him being defensive in the after show and everything else, he's not really sorry. You know, he doesn't take any. If someone's really like, holy shit, I was a monster. I was a drunk and I was an idiot and I need to like change my ways. I mean, what I'm saying is it's not necessarily unforgivable to have a drunken night, but then he apologizes and then he's like, what's Lala Nation Monroe fucking business? And the talking heads, it's like, you don't mean anything you're saying, you know?
Yep.
You're just a decent B-level actor, you know, doing whatever you need to do to keep
it. Did you say he's a B-level actor?
Well, that was generous, I guess. You're right.
I was about to say, that is quite generous. So Lala's like, I think you have to.
I don't know a lot of letters
to be a B level. So then Lala is like, well, I think there's something that happens when you have one too many drinks. And by the way, there's no fucking judgment here. Just kidding. There's a huge amount of judgment, but I'm just gonna tell you, there's no judgment. And I want to make that very fucking clear. I'm not saying that you have an issue. I'm telling you, you have an issue. And I know that that's not been. I know that's been talked about in the past. And I need to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. I just want to make sure that you're good. Like, Lala, you're telling him he has an issue. Let's be honest. And you're right, by the way.
You're right. Yeah. Well, she knows how it's coming across because she is someone who had to get sober, you know, because she had the same stuff happen to her all the time. So I think she's coming from the place of like, listen, from one person who's acted like a drunk idiot on TV to another. I get it. But he's taking that as like, well, how dare you compare me to an alcoholic? you know, because he's delusional. So, yeah, of course, he's like, well, that didn't need to be said. We don't know each other like that. We're not friends like that. She needs to mind her own business.
Well, see,
as I've said 20 times, it's not her own business if you're this loud about it and in everyone's face about it. It becomes our business, dummy.
Yeah, and this is also an echo to what happened at that dinner party. And this is not me going back to the Janet thing. I'm done with that. Like, that's, I'm just saying in terms of the way that me, the moment that there was a question about should we be checking on Danny's drinking? And he was like, I can't believe you'd even say that. Right. Like, that's basically like, hey, like you've overstepped. It's too far. Blah, 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 blah. And like, they're so defensive about this. And it's just like, it's just really annoying to watch. And I can only imagine how annoying it is to actually be in that circle of friends to deal with it.
Yeah, truly. So they finish their talk and he's like, you know, I rarely do drink even. Like, I'm good. Like, I rarely drink. So those times when it gets to a point, you know, things do get heightened. Like, whatever, you know, making a light of the whole being triggered thing. That was stupid. You know, I'm really sorry about that. And she's like, okay, well, I just want you to be sure to know that if I'm saying this behind your back, I'm going to say it to your face. I'm willing to say it to your face. And he's like, okay, well, thank you. And she's like, okay, well, thanks, Danny. I appreciate it. So they move on. And meanwhile, Zach is just still having the best trip of his life. I mean, Zach is on some other trip. Zach is like on some completely different vacation than everyone else. He's just like having the time of his life, you know?
Yeah. He and Benji are just like, oh my God, llamas. They're just having a great time. They're just completely insulated from all this stuff. So now Janet's like, Nia, do you have a second? Can we go hang by the garden?
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, a garden. I haven't been out here before. Sorry. That's like my gut reaction I say when I go outside to make sure Danny's okay.
So it's like, okay, well, it's nice and peaceful out here, right?
It is peaceful.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to sit down and talk, and I know it's been a little awkward and stuff, and you know, I know that last year was really tough, and I caused you a lot of pain, and I'm really sorry. I'm like, stop slowing down every other word, Janet. It's like, I totally understand how some things that I said have hurt you.
Yeah, and she's saying, you know, I understand I hurt you, and I wish I could go back and not say some things or say things differently. Now, this, you know, credit where it's due, I think was a very good apology. It was much improved from her first, like, do you have anything to apologize to me about? Which is how she started the season. So I thought this was very good. Like, she came in, she gave a real apology, I felt like.
Yes.
And she did a good job. And as a Christian,
like, the awkwardness of it was,
you know, as a Christian, like, what do? You're supposed to forgive. I was raised in the Christian church. I don't really follow it now, but I was raised very, very, very Christian. So I kind of know how this works. And Nia's just like, no. No.
No.
Fuck off, bitch. Basically.
Yeah.
She's like, and look, it's not your responsibility necessarily to just say, okay, you have like full entrance back into my life. You know, I was very hurt by you. So just go ahead. I'm just going to pretend that nothing happens. But that's not really what forgiveness is, you know. And so I thought it was kind of silly that Nia, you know, stakes all of this on her religion and her faith and then can't even take a genuine apology when it's offered to her. I thought that was pretty shitty on Nia's part.
Right. Now, I will say, God, I hate to do the I will say in this situation, but I will say, I mean, Janet has apologized to Nia a few times over the past like year or two seasons. And so I can imagine that Nia is just sort of frustrated that she has to like have another sit down. But I do actually agree. I do think that Janet had a good apology. And I honestly, she said she's gone to therapy. She's been doing therapy, and she's not like doing the Jax therapy where she does like a session on camera. And it's like, look, everyone, I'm changed. Like, she sounds, if we are to believe what she's saying and it's based on how she's talking, it does sound like she has been putting in the work, which is what I ask of people when they act like buffoons. So I do appreciate this. And Nia is just like, I feel like you look at me and you're like not seeing the good in me. You would see the negative if there was good. And if there is good, you would find a way to turn it into bad. I'm like, it's interesting to me that that's how Nia takes it, because I really think that like Janet's issue is primarily with Danny. And if she had an issue with Nia, is that Nia covers for Danny. And Danny acted in a way that made Janet feel uncomfortable. And then when Janet tried to say that, whether it was concern trolling or not, but based on at least just what we see on camera, just the words said, Nia's like, fuck off, right? And I can understand being like really frustrated by that.
And Janet's like, well, you're definitely right. And I feel like all of us are seeing the worst in each other and assuming the worst. And she's like, well, I feel like that's a blanket statement that's not real for me because I see the best in most people. And I see repeated actions that now I look at and it's not like an oops, I did this. I'm sorry. For me, it was a long time of behavior over a period of time that became a pattern.
Oh, are you talking about Danny now?
No, I'm talking about you.
Yeah.
Well, you say
it, you know, it does seem like she could be talking to Danny as well. And while I agree with what she's saying to Janet, you know, I do agree that it's like, well, it's not just some oops. Like, you doubled, tripled, quadrupled down to the point where by the end of the season, you were accusing him of murder, basically.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, and so I get that, but, you know, you can have that conversation and still say, like, listen, Janet, you know, I was really hurt by you last year and this is why I was hurt, but I appreciate your apology and I would love to move forward. You know, it's just a couple of tweaks would be needed to this. And Nia's like, nah, this was an apology that was planned out and it doesn't feel like there's any real deep understanding of the hurt she's caused. And I'm like, yeah, but that's also Danny who you're completely standing up for.
That,
it's,
and
like,
that's
an impossible situation, you know?
Yeah. I think that, like, yeah, it's not nice to have someone in your group bring up these things, but it's Danny who's actually doing these things. And, like, that's where the scrutiny really should be in my mind. So Nia's like,
I mean, look, I think it should be both places. I just can't be like, well, Janet's right now because Danny sucks. I mean, I think Janet was still an asshole. Like, she's still just too much and I can get it. And I think she's two sides of the same coin as someone like Danny, you know, not the drinking and everything like that, but the manipulation and the way that you talk to people and that you try and villainize people when they're not. I mean, they have a lot in common. And I just think they're both so wrong. But when you're in this situation as someone like Nia, what are you going to do? Like, you can't just keep coming onto a TV show and having it be so split. Like, someone, you guys, she's at least making an effort. And even if you don't believe her effort is real, you need to at least fake it enough to, like, give her a chance, you know, especially when that's what you're preaching constantly and you're preaching it to everyone else for your husband.
I guess I'm trying to figure out what I actually want out of Nia in this situation. I think I want her to basically just tell Danny to shut up. I want her to sort of stop taking this on to herself. And I want her to, I kind of want her to give Danny the business and be like, look, because of you, our entire friend group is being torn apart. Like, yeah, it's Janet too. But ultimately, like, Janet would have never had anything to go off of if you didn't give her all of this to go off of. And you, like, you've created this, like, you've got to change. And if you don't, like I've made so many sacrifices for you. I've done everything for you and you're treating me like shit. And now our whole group is like in shambles because of you, and you've got to, like, get your shit together. It's like, I think that's what I want from her.
Well, it's tough because she's in a situation where, you know, I'm looking at this as like a full-on abuse situation, you know? And I know people will be like, well, that's not physical abuse and that's different than, that's not really. When you're in a situation that's so emotionally abusive, which this frankly now looks completely like that to me, and there's no talking me out of that. So you're talking to a victim in an abuse situation. And so it's like, just stand up to him. You know, of course we want that because you want that for the person, you know, you want that, you want to see them get to that moment, but it's just so much more complicated than that. It's like, you're stuck with these four kids, these four babies. She doesn't really work. She's stuck in this, you know, I mean, maybe she does some influencing stuff, but she doesn't really, you know, work. She's a stay at home mom, you know, it's like, sorry, I took myself off. Now she's stuck in Santa Clarita. And, you know, it's like she's kind of in a situation which to her probably seems impossible. Add on to that all of the religious training that's like, no, you stand by your man and that guy is right. And, you know, that guy's the man and you're the woman and your job is to blah, blah, blah. And so it's easy, you know, it's easy to say, like, well, you should do this and you should do that. But it's also just, hard to actually do it. You know, she's in a really complicated situation and it's just brutal. It's brutal to watch it. And so she's like, you know, this was just last summer, Janet. It's not like it was a long time ago. And she, Janet's like, well, everybody's been saying stuff and posting things. And she goes, oh, really? What about me and Daniel? She goes, no, but like Daniel likes and posts stuff with memes about me and stuff like that. And she's like, but I'm talking about you, Janet. No, you're really not. You're defending Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And Janet's like, yeah, I'm just saying it's not a one-sided thing. She's like,
no, but I'm talking about you because you're the one that's making the apology to me.
She's like, well, I feel like all I can do moving forward is just to say I'm sorry.
I appreciate the effort.
So
yeah, but it's like stone cold. It's like a stone cold ending. Yikes.
So this is what's so funny to me. Like, we've been now at this for like an hour and 18 minutes. We are fired up. We're dissecting every aspect of this problematic situation. Danny and Nia, there's alcohol afoot, religious issues afoot. There's things from last year, this year, there's all this stuff. It's dark. It's terrible. The way that people were talked to, it's like, it's a really dark moment. Cut to Tom Schwartz. Carl, wow. I would say San Diego trip was a great success. Were you even there? Did you even see what was happening?
Yeah. He's like, it was a little glimpse into my future. Like, I want to retire and just live on a little ranch with my animals and be a boy. Yikes.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now everybody's back home going about their business, and we go to Jason and Janet's house, and Janet's like, well, I had a good trip. You know, I mean, at least I had fun with the girls. You know, half the trip I was really laughing with the girls and having fun. And Janet's like, you know, and I was talking to them about meeting with my OB and then meeting a fertility specialist, because they're talking about having another baby. So they talk about another that for a baby. While.
Yeah. Baby potential happening there. And Jason talks about, like, you know, if they can't conceive, then maybe they might adopt. And he talks about how his dad was adopted, and there's like a lot of adopted people in his family. So it's something that would definitely be a viable option for him, which is pretty cool to learn about his family. And yeah.
Now the guys go to play basketball. So they're like, this is just called hoops, guys. All right. And they basically all come to play together. And Jason's like, yeah, I'm pretty athletic, especially for my age. So I played high school basketball, and I wasn't good enough to play for Boston College, but still pretty good, guys. So they start playing, and then Jason hurts his knee. And he's like, oh, God, I hurt my knee with that jump. And they're like, well, the shot's way off. And then they keep playing, and Jason goes down.
He's like, ow, 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 ow. He like, he just goes and just like, he's out. He's out. He's down for the count. And then he's just like, just laid out there. Laid out.
It's not even funny. His knee has popped out. Yikes.
No, it was fun. It was, I felt bad for him. Like, he was down. Like, that was an injury. But what was funny was that, like, he's lying there. Ambulance comes. They carted him away. They're like, okay, back to the game. wasn't he walking at BravoCon? Was it BravoCon or was it the reunion that he had like a, he was walking around with like a cane?
At BravoCon, he was on a cane. Yeah.
So it's probably from this. Yeah. So,
yeah. Backstory, and guys. So he's like, oh God, you know, what the hell? Like, and now I have to take care of a kid and I can't walk. And, you know, he's freaking out. So they take him away, and, Luke's like, okay, well, let's keep going. So he's saying that him and Jason have a weird friendship right now. But when you blow out your knee in front of me, I don't wish that on anybody. So he goes to the hospital, and then we just keep playing. I mean, I don't know what's going on in this scene.
Luke is like, I just have a question for the EMTs before you take him to the hospital. When was the last time you let me go fishing? Like, sir, we don't understand what this question's about. We need to take this man for medical assistance. So now we have Zach and Brittany and Kristen and now they're at lunch at Madre, which is where Erica and Denise and Sutton had lunch, for anyone who wants to keep tabs on restaurants on these shows. So Brittany's like, hey, how are you feeling? Good. Sleepy. Always sleepy. Always sleepy. Oh my God. Like, how long did it take you to get home? Like four and a half hours. Ugh.
So Lala comes in and she's all dressed up. I'm like, where are you going? She's like, I just wanted to get dressed up for my friends. So, you know, like, yeah, I just came home and just wanted to put on my sweatpants. And Brittany's talking about how cute Cruz was and how good things are going with Cruz without Jax there. And he's now smiling all the time. He's more social. And she saw how, or Cruz saw how she was treated for so long with Jax, and that really affected him more than they realized. And meanwhile, Jax is posting like, wow, everybody, congrats to me. 1.5 years sober. I'm going in the rehabs, you know, yearly marathon. Girl, nobody believes you.
Hmm. Yeah, seriously. So but now Kristen's like, I mean, this is what Jax's perfect world looks like. He's like single, and then he can fuck whoever he wants, do drugs and do whatever. And then he has Brittany, and then he still has Cruz.
Yeah, but that's because the narcissist always has the life over here, but the picture perfect family to create the illusion that it's wild.
Yeah, he could have been calling Cruz every day and making effort, but he doesn't.
Because shocker, he doesn't call to help out or anything. No. And she says that co-parenting is extremely, extremely difficult.
Yeah. And she's like, I just put so much belief that he changed, but he's 46 and he's still playing all the same tricks and doing all the same things to me. And I believe it. Yeah.
100%.
So Kristen's like, well, at least the dark cloud's gone. And she's like, well, it didn't ruin my time. So now we move on to the Nia stuff, the Nia and Danny stuff. So Lila's like, well, I don't know if Nia told you what happened. And Zach's like, yeah, that Janet tried to talk to her at the end. And she goes, no, not that. And Kristen's like, well, I know about her and Janet sort of talking. She's like, no, not that. Did she tell you the night of the pageant with me and Danny? And Kristen's like, oh my God, I can like feel your nervous energy. And it's like, it's making me nervous. Like, I don't even know what's about to happen.
I'm an empath.
Okay, well, we can sit here all day long and talk about Daniel and how wonderful they are. All right. And Kristen, I'm going to be very careful as I say this because I know that they're your friends, but there's a real issue happening. Chris is like, oh, caca, what? The way that your friend Danny speaks to his wife is utterly unacceptable. I hear him say, get these fucking lashes off me, yelling at her.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she's like, well, I love you, and I've always appreciated that you write hard for your friends, but there's a lot of things about Danny, and I'm not going to end up a Janet, okay? I'm not going to be labeled a destroyer, and I'm telling you, this is something I saw and I heard with my own eyes and ears. And Brittany's like, well, when I brought something up last year, it was like, whoa, like, I wouldn't have liked to feel what I saw. I mean, we got labeled as horrible people, you know? The internet was so mean to me. I was crying. And Kristen's like, well, just as a side note, as far as Danny and Nia as a couple are concerned, like, just because they don't share it with the group doesn't mean they don't deal with it themselves. And I really try to model my relationship with Luke on that. Well, it seems to be working because you're both fucking miserable.
Like, I know. Yeah, great work. Great work for that patterning.
I look at Danny and Nia's relationship. It's something that I really strive for in my relationship with Luke.
I'm like, that's because you're looking at them with rose-tinted glasses on. You see the version, the nice version that they presented for so long, where they're very sweet and accommodating, but you're not really seeing how they're actually behaving. She goes, you don't air your dirty laundry. I'm like, well, you're also not really patterning that part, Kristen. And she's like, you should learn how to say
you do air your dirty laundry, though. So Kristen, what are you talking like about, Kristen?
She's like, oh, I really aspire to be like that. I aspire to not air my dirty laundry. I'm like, you put up a clothesline in this restaurant and it's all hanging here.
You're like literally, you know, washboarding t-shirts in a river right now. Okay, can we just eat our madre?
I know, seriously. You should learn how to communicate at home and have these conversations in private and work past them without embarrassing your significant other. And then there's something that I really look up to when it comes to Danny and Nia and their marriage. I'm like, yeah, but the point is that he did embarrass his significant other. That's what Lala's trying to tell
Kristen,
you.
Kristen, listen, follow the thread, Kristen. And she's like, yeah, they're like very faith-like about their faith. And, you know... Like, she just wants to breathe through it and pray through it. And that's how she copes. And Brittany's like, well, I mean, not that me and Jax were anything like me and Danny, but I protected Jax all the time. And Lana's like, we know. She's like, yeah. So I can understand that, you know, more than the average person. And I think, you know, Brittany is a good example, actually, on this one. Mm-hmm. And I don't just mean the alcohol, but this kind of like narcissist man, you know, treating you like shit where you're constantly sticking up for him. She definitely knows. And Zach's like, well, like, I think this is more like you don't like Nia. And Brittany's like, I don't like Nia. And Kristen's like, well, he said this for a really long time. Like, I've never brought it up. Zach says, well, you know, you don't like Nia, you know? And she goes, but I do like Nia. And he goes, you make digs about Nia all the time.
And he's like, one example on the top of my mind is like last summer when we were in Santa Barbara, Danny and Nia were having a fight on the phone and Nia was like yelling at him. And Brittany thought that Nia was like hiding something from the cameras and they were like fighting. But Brittany, I'm like, sorry, there's cameras everywhere. So I like don't see what you're talking about. And they shot that clip. I don't feel like Brittany took that big of a dig. I don't remember exactly what she said in that moment, but I remember thinking like, I don't
know, but I know what he means because, well, first off, they showed the scene, so we got to see it again. I was like, I remember that scene because they show it to us.
They show, but I just don't remember what she said.
I remember thinking about it. I remember talking about it last year. And she was telling her husband off on the phone. She was like, listen to your wife, Daniel. Like, she was getting mad at him on the phone. And then Brittany's like, why are they hiding everything? And I just remember saying, like, they're not, though. She's having this conversation on camera. Like, I don't understand why you're saying she's hiding it. But I think Brittany was projecting a lot at that moment because she could see some of the patterns with Danny.
Yeah.
Like Jax and Danny. And she was dealing with Jax to such a degree that for Nia to be like, oh, no, everything's okay. When Brittany was just at the point where she's like, you know what? No, everything's not okay with my relationship. And so to see somebody else being like, no, but everything's okay when you're going through the same thing and finally having to say, no, everything's not okay. Mm-hmm. I can see what a mind fuck that would be for sure.
Also, Brittany got shit for so many years from all of the audience about like, why are you protecting Jax? We know you're protecting him. Why are you always trying to smooth things over? You're always giggling it over, like giving her all that shit. She got that shit for years and years and years. And now she finally, like the veil lifted. She finally has clearer eyes and then she sees Danny and Nia and they are clearly having a squabble. And she's like, why doesn't Nia get shit for this? Like, I had to deal with so much shit. I have to imagine like there's an element of that running through her as well. That's like a common thing with reality stars of like, I had to deal with shit. Now you should deal with this shit too. It's like not fair that I had to be the one that dealt with it. And I kind of would imagine there was some, along with what you said, I think that this was also swirled in there.
Yeah. And so she's like, I'll immediately get attacked every time I face anything. And Zach's like, I'm not attacking you. And she's like, well, I'm done talking about it because I've never talking about Danny and Nia ever again. Okay. They're perfect. Okay. I guess they're just perfect.
Okay. I see you. Okay. You are seen. I hear you. I see and hear you. And this is actually,
thank you.
No, this is my way of saying like, I'm hearing too much of you. It's just a lot of your giggle right now. Okay. You know what? We never got to see those things, okay? There might have been like some rumors or like stuff or whatever, but it's like never been this bad. And like, especially the way he wasn't in San Diego, that was like absolutely inappropriate. Even Bungie was like, oh my God.
And Kristen's like, well, I've not witnessed that. I mean, I believe what you're telling me. I'm just saying like, I haven't seen it with my own eyes.
Well, I just find it hard to believe that you've never heard him speak to her that way, like ever.
And she's like, well, no, I've never been to a bar with Danny. Like, I see Dad Danny or Danny at home and Danny not ever drinking. That's the Danny I see. And Lala's like, Kristen's saying this is such bullshit. She's been around Danny drinking on many occasions. And this isn't even a friendship. This is an alliance. And let's just call it what it is. And I think Kristen is intentionally turning a blind eye. And I think that that is accurate.
And Lala, it basically ends with Lala saying, if this is your friend, you've got to step in, Kristen. And Kristen's like, oh, gaga, what? Oh,
yeah, because Kristen goes, well, that's something that needs to be brought to her attention because it's being talked about. So Kristen's basically like, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to Nia about this. I'm just warning you. And Lala's like, okay, well, if this is your friend, then step in, Kristen. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because Kristen has been their biggest offender. When Kristen heard more of Nia's backstory last year, she felt extreme amount of sympathy and empathy and everything, all the pathies. And I don't discredit her for that. I don't think that's wrong that she felt that way, but she really kind of was like, okay, I'm going to blindly champion these two for the end of time. And it's like, she's going to have to also now, you know, put on her, you know, her detective hat as usual and get to the bottom of this.
Well, yeah, because this isn't like a typical reality thing. Like, you better, you know, tell them off. You know, it's not about telling her off. It's like, this is a bad situation. Like, how are we going to help this lady?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
So anyway, I feel great. what a ray of sunshine this episode was. But also I love a show where you can sink your teeth into it and you can have opinions. And like, I loved all this conversation. I loved it. I loved going back and forth. I know people are going to be really mad at me for having certain Janet apologists tendencies this episode, but you know what? That's just the way it is.
Well, no, I think everything that's being talked about on this show is really dark and complicated, and people are going to have really intense feelings on a lot of things that are talked about on the show and then on this show, because we're talking about what's happening on the screen. So, you know, everybody's got some kind of reference point to this in their own lives, and they're going to be coming at it from a lot of different directions.
People are bringing their own experiences to something like this. And, but you know, I was watching it and I was like, you know what? I just have to, this is how I feel watching it. And you know, whether it's unpopular or not, that's just the way it is. But food for thought. We'd love to hear what everyone has to say.
Yeah, this is great times. Love this show.
Great time, Bolt.
I hope it lasts now, and lasts and lasts. I hope it just keeps going and going.
Peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys.
Yeah. Can we get to the peaks? Like, can we just have a spinoff called The Peaks? That'd be great. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you next time.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
She answered the call. It's Adia Paul.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
Have a kebab with K. Rob.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
She's the lady of the house, it's Rachel Sharouse.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.